The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this station. Content is for educational purposes only. Consult a financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence if investing. Calls are pre-screened and the show was pre-recorded earlier this week. Rick is with Edelman Financial Engines, a part of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, and the investment advisor that furnishes this program. Barron's ranks financial advisory firms based on assets managed, team size, experience, and regulatory record. Firms self-nominate. Investment returns and experience are not considered. Advisors in the Hall of Fame have been in the top 100 for 10-plus years. Future performance is not guaranteed.
This is the Rick Edelman Show. Barron's ranks Edelman Financial Engines the number one independent investment advisor in the country. And Rick is in the Barron's Financial Advisor Hall of Fame. Now, here's Rick Edelman.
And a very happy weekend to you. Welcome to the Rick Edelman Show. 888-PLAN-RICK is our telephone number. We have a couple of surveys out this week that I want to share with you about. Also, really exciting announcement I'm going to give you in the next segment. Be sure to stay tuned for that coming up here on The Truth About Money. We have some pretty exciting news, and maybe some of it's not as exciting as it ought to be. Anyway, here's a study from TD Ameritrade. 62% of Americans, I'm going to see if you consider yourself falling in this category, 62%, nearly two-thirds of Americans say they need to catch up and build up their nest eggs. Many Americans saying they have not done a good enough job at saving for their future. That, according to TD Ameritrade, awareness, they say, is step number one of solving a problem. The next step, of course, is actually taking the action necessary to fix that problem. So on the heels of TD Ameritrade's survey, 62% of Americans say they need to catch up and start saving. The SEC has come along. Yes, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the nation's chief regulator, the top cop in the financial services sector, has just made a big announcement this week pertaining to the 2019 World Investor Week. Yes, it was this past week, October 1 to 7, and the SEC has participated in the World Investor Week with the following very helpful advice to investors. You ready? Here it is. Start early.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
Yeah, okay, thanks. I really appreciate it. You were helping me with my need to increase my nest egg, and your advice is to start early.
I am very disappointed!
All right, let me just go to work on this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back in time to when I was 20 years old, and I'm going to, you know, start saving then. What do you think? All right, so I'm not sure quite exactly how to get into a Wayback Machine that's going to enable me to go back in time. But, anyway, I do really appreciate the SEC's advice and admonition that we should all, you know, start early. That's really fabulous if you're in college, if you're graduating high school. But, you know, if you're already 45 years old, 55 years old, 65 years old, and the SEC is saying start early, that's not advice. That's, anyway. I am very excited to tell you, very honored, frankly, that this week is the 50th anniversary of the financial planning industry. I don't know if you realize that. The financial planning industry is now 50 years old. Everybody's talking about Woodstock and the Woodstock's 50th anniversary. But, you know, okay, fine. It's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Something far more important, it's also the 50th anniversary of the financial planning industry. Back in 1969, a group of stockbrokers and insurance agents met in Chicago to recognize that there's more to personal finance than just buying stocks and buying life insurance policies. And in fact, those decisions need to be in the context of the client's circumstances, their needs, their goals, their fears, and their aspirations, and came to be born the financial planning industry. The meeting was organized by Lauren Dunton, who has since passed away. 2 years ago, I received the Lauren Dunton Lifetime Achievement Award from the International Association of Registered Financial Consultants, a very high honor. This week, in celebration and in recognition of the 50th anniversary of financial planning, Investment News, an industry trade publication, has published a story on it, and they named 20 people who helped shape the financial planning industry over the past 50 years. Four of the 20 are dead. None of the 20 are household names, except for one. And that's me. I'm very honored that I was selected by Investment News as one of the 20 people who helped shape the financial planning industry. Investment News said, quote, "I am one of the few, if not the only, advisor with a national brand." And they say, "I was chosen for the list for creating a successful business model that is pushing the business of financial planning to new heights." And so I'm very honored to have been included by Investment News as one of the most influential people in the financial planning industry. I'll tell you what else is coming up that's pretty influential. What's been going on in the stock market lately? Have you noticed? You might have noticed the stock market not doing well this week. We'll talk about that on the program today. But let me tell you what's going on year to date. The stock market has had its best performance year to date since 1997. Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, we've seen incredible volatility this past week. We'll talk about what's going on there and why, but don't let that distract you from the fact that the stock market's up 18% year to date. Now, go back to 1926. The average annual return of the S&P 500, according to Ibbotson Associates, is 10% a year. This is only early October, and we're up 18% a year. And so this is really quite remarkable. We've made 60% more money so far in just the first 9 months than historically, generally, on average, we do in an entire year. And by that, the reason I'm telling you this, because your portfolio, by the way, is not up that much, and that's because you don't have 100% of your money in stocks. So let's not get carried away. You're not up 15, 16, 17, 18%. But your stock portion of your portfolio probably is up in that range, more or less, depending on which stock funds you own or individual stocks you own. But the point is this. Let's not get cocky. This is an unsustainable rate of growth. It might last a while longer, for sure, but it could easily retract. We could easily see the market going flat for a period of time. And in fact, this past week, we saw some really big volatility, which I'll talk about later on in the show. But one of the things that is really good news, or is it, is data that has now come from the U.S. Treasury. The Treasury Department says that the personal savings rate has hit an all-time high. Back in 2007, the personal savings rate, which means the portion of your income that you set aside for savings, back in 2007 was 3.7% of your income. In 2010, it was 6.5% of income. People in the aftermath of the 2008 credit crisis started saving more and more of their money, recognizing how dicey the economy had become. Today, the personal savings rate is an astonishing 8.2%. This is wonderful. You're really getting it. You're recognizing the importance of saving for your future. You're recognizing how critical it is that you not squander all of your income and you instead put some of it aside for the future. But the Commerce Department is saying, wait a minute, this might not be good news for the economy. With Americans saving so much of their pay, they're not spending it. And although the Treasury Department might say the personal savings rate is great for American consumers, the Commerce Department says it's really bad for American businesses. Household spending is flat now. And since consumers drive the economy, this might spell bad news for the U.S. economy and push us closer to the start of a recession. And on top of this, the ISM, the Institute for Supply Management, has just released a manufacturing report this week and shows the level of manufacturing activity, and it has dropped to the worst level in 10 years. Well, put it all together, and it could spell that the economy might begin to reduce its rate of growth. We might actually have a negative growth rate, otherwise known as recession, and that could have an impact on investment values. Now, we aren't suggesting you should be scared about this. Not at all. We're not suggesting you should be worried. Not at all. For a very simple reason. We typically average a recession once every 4 years. We haven't had one in 10 years. Recessions, when they do occur, typically last only about 8 to 12 months. And when those recessions are over, the economy starts to grow again. So I'm not suggesting you need to worry about it. I'm sort of simply saying, hey, I'm the pilot of the airplane, and I'm simply telling you to put on your seatbelt. We're going to hit some turbulence. It's not going to have any adverse impact on our ability to get to our ultimate destination. You're going to be able to get there. It's just going to be a little bit uncomfortable for a little bit of a while. So recognize what's going on in the economic environment. Realize that things have been going so well for so long, even to the point this year that the stock market's up into the double digits, well ahead of its average annual returns, that, hey, it's bound to have a party come to an end at some point. We don't know when that's going to be. We don't know if that's going to be. We don't know the degree that that's going to be. Nobody does. Don't let anybody anywhere pretend to tell you anything different. Instead, all you need to do is A, recognize the scenario. B, confirm that your investment portfolio is designed for your long-term goals, the next 10, 20, 30 years, not the next 10, 20, 30 days, or even the next few months. And that you have sufficient cash reserves to tide you through a recessionary environment so that you don't have to make unnecessary liquidations from your account while the volatility is occurring. If you have any questions about that, if you have any uncertainty about that, if you don't know with a high degree of confidence that your portfolio is properly positioned, properly diversified, to help you manage investment risks, to help you achieve your long-term goals in the face of volatility and perhaps even a recession, that's why you call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742, or visit us online at ricedelman.com.
The author of the number one bestseller, Rescue Your Money, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Let's talk for a minute about stock market volatility. Hi, Rick Edelman here. You can expect to see market volatility, but don't let it frighten you out of your investment and retirement accounts. Now, I'm not making light of volatility. We get it. It's unsettling. But volatility is really simply a routine part of long-term investing. And the best way for you to avoid stock market volatility? Don't have all your money in stocks. That's why here at Edelman Financial Engines, we're careful to give our clients highly diversified portfolios, placing only a portion of assets into stocks. This helps give you the confidence that stock market volatility is really nothing to get concerned about. We've been helping thousands of clients just like you for 33 years. So come talk with us at Edelman Financial Engines and let us help put your market worries aside. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Since 1964, Hustler Turf Equipment has been designing, engineering, and assembling zero-turn lawnmowers with U.S. and global parts right here in the United States. Professional landscapers and homeowners alike have relied on Hustler Turf Equipment to provide features such as Hustler's patented smooth track steering, heavy-duty steel decks, and premium bolstered seats. Visit HustlerTurf.com to find a dealer near you. That's HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com.
Welcome back to the program. Rick Edelman here. You're listening to The Truth About Money. You've heard us talking on this program for the past couple of years about the Social Security crisis and the fact that the trust fund is slowly being depleted and will be gone by 2035, according to the Social Security Administration. And we have been working hard to increase consumer awareness and to help you understand what's coming and how reliable is that Social Security check that you are likely counting on for your retirement security. And this is why I created, 2 years ago, the Funding Our Future Coalition in conjunction with the Bipartisan Policy Center, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank in the Washington, D.C. area. And we have been working really hard to improve America's retirement security. We have three simple goals with Funding Our Future: make it easier to save, help you provide income you cannot live, and save the Social Security system. Today, the Funding Our Future Coalition is the largest retirement security coalition ever formed. More than three dozen nonprofit organizations, corporations, academic institutions, as well as think tanks are members of the coalition. And we are very excited to tell you that we are now launching our first major public education program. It's going to be held Saturday, November 23rd, in Northern Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., at the Sheraton in Tyson's Corner. It's the Smart Money Retirement Expo. And if you're preparing for retirement, if you're in retirement, we strongly encourage you to attend the Smart Money Retirement Expo, hosted by the Funding Our Future Coalition and Edelman Financial Engines. In a single day, we're going to have dozens of seminars. You'll learn how to generate income from your investments in retirement, how to avoid the costs of long-term care, understanding wills and trusts and estate planning, how to maximize your Social Security benefits, and discover the impact of longevity on your financial planning strategies. We'll be doing a live radio broadcast. There'll be financial advisors on hand to answer all your personal finance questions. It's the biggest personal finance event of its kind ever. Admission is just $10, and all of that $10 goes to the Boys and Girls Clubs. So I invite you to register right now. Choose the sessions you want to attend. You can come to either the morning sessions or the afternoon sessions. Just go to smartmoneyretirementexpo.com. Okay, so we talked about earlier in the program the fact that the stock market has been experiencing lots of volatility this week. We saw the stock market fall 350 points roughly on Tuesday. Wednesday, the stock market was down even more than that. And we have people starting to ask the question, is this party over? Are we entering a recession? Why suddenly are we seeing this kind of volatility in the stock market? Well, as I mentioned to you, it's unrealistic to expect the stock market to sustain its pace that it has been enjoying for the first 9 months of the year. The stock market was up nearly 20% in the first 9 months of the year. At that rate, the stock market would end the year up 25%. Most people, I think, would agree that that's an unsustainable rate of return, especially considering that corporate profits are not rising that fast. On top of that, we have the opposite fears that due to the trade wars and the tariffs that are being imposed on American businesses at the moment, that we are seeing a reduction in sales activities. We're seeing a reduction in manufacturing. We're seeing a concern and a weakness and slowdown in that area. And then we have the news from Puerto Rico, which many are wondering, is this a harbinger of things to come? What happened in Puerto Rico last week? Puerto Rico has released a plan to deal with its $129 billion worth of debt. The plan that they have released will cut their debt by 33%. In other words, they're not going to repay $129 billion to the investors who lent all that money. They're only going to repay $86 billion. How is Puerto Rico going to do this? They're going to take the municipal bonds that they have issued, and they're going to cut them by as much as 45%. Some of the investors who bought municipal bonds issued by Puerto Rico, who willingly said, I will give you $10,000 and you will give me interest and my $10,000 back at maturity, they're not going to get their 10 grand back. They're only going to get $6,400, 64 cents on the dollar. By the way, those are the good bonds. Other bonds are only going to get 35 cents on the dollar. Those investors are going to lose two-thirds of their money. And oh, by the way, those are the ones in pretty good shape. Some of those bondholders will get absolutely nothing, a 100% loss of their money. And it's not just investors who are going to be suffering under this Puerto Rican plan. So are pensioners. Municipal employees who devoted their careers working for Puerto Rico's government are going to find an 8.5% cut in their income. Typically, when pension plans run into financial trouble, the company or the government that issues the pension plan cuts the benefits for future retirees, not the current retirees, but not in this case. Puerto Rico's problems are so severe that current retirees are going to suffer an 8.5% income cut. Puerto Rico is making these draconian steps because of dire financial circumstances that were made even worse by the double hurricanes that devastated the island. Other states also have similar pension problems, and they're going to be studying Puerto Rico's plan very carefully, and Wall Street investors are beginning to get spooked, wondering if the bonds they've bought that were issued by state and local governments all across the country might not repay as expected, if Puerto Rico's experience is any indication. So we're seeing these kinds of issues, and it's spooking investors. This is why I made the comments to you earlier in the program, how important it is for you to make sure you are properly diversified, that you don't have too much of your money in any one single investment. In fact, not too much of it in any one single asset class. And that you have a portfolio that you agree you're willing to live with throughout periods of volatility. It's not good enough to own a portfolio while things are going well. You also have to own that portfolio while things are going poorly. If you aren't certain that you have a portfolio that you can live with for the next several years, you need to call us right now at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742. As Dan Fogelberg said, you don't want to change horses in the middle of a stream.
Changing horses in the middle of a stream. Get you in sometimes.
The founder of one of the nation's largest independent investment advisory firms, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Let's talk for a minute about stock market volatility. Hi, Rick Edelman here. You can expect to see market volatility, but don't let it frighten you out of your investment and retirement accounts. Now, I'm not making light of volatility. We get it. It's unsettling. But volatility is really simply a routine part of long-term investing. And the best way for you to avoid stock market volatility? Don't have all your money in stocks. That's why here at Edelman Financial Engines, we're careful to give our clients highly diversified portfolios, placing only a portion of assets into stocks. This helps give you the confidence that stock market volatility is really nothing to get concerned about. We've been helping thousands of clients just like you for 33 years. So come talk with us at Edelman Financial Engines and let us help put your market worries aside. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. Welcome back to the program. Rick Edelman here at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742. Online at ricedelman.com. We're taking telephone calls here on the Rick Edelman Show. Let's head off to Philadelphia. We're talking with Michael. How you doing, Michael?
I'm fine, Rick. Thank you. How are you?
Doing fabulous. How can I help?
Well, the background to my question is I started out in life with a lot of potential, bright, gifted, and then suffered some very traumatic losses, including my mother dying of the dreaded ALS. That triggered depression in me. I became disabled from the depression. I was able to earn a law degree, but depression can make a mess of your life and your finances. Now, later in life, I am getting a second wind. I do know the vital importance of proper medical care, and I'm getting that. but how do I now start a good financial life, but starting out much later in life? Yeah. I need some help.
Yeah. Michael, I give you a lot of credit. When people go through challenges the way that you have, it's so important to acknowledge that, hey, this stuff happens, and I'm going to figure out how to pick myself up and move forward and make the best of what is admittedly not a great situation, as opposed to just, you know, saying, oh, woe is me, and nothing I can do about it. So I really give you a lot of credit, and I appreciate your calling as well. In fact, I'm going to give you the applause of the day for really acknowledging your situation and seeking the help medically, number one. And as you pointed out, that you've done, it's so vital that you reach out to others for help. And that's the great thing about this country. You don't have to go it alone. So you've done the first hard part, reached out to medical help, and now the second part for your finances, reaching out to a financial advisor. What we want to do is two things. First, I want to ignore the past. And when I say ignore it, I don't mean throw it away, it didn't matter, it wasn't important. That's not what I mean at all. What I mean is I don't want to berate you for it. I don't want to chastise you for it. I don't want to belittle you for it. I don't want to be condescending. It is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it, so why bother harping on it, right? So I don't want to impose any judgment on the things that you've experienced in life. I want to provide empathy for you and sympathy where I can. I want to express condolences on the loss of your mom, especially the dreadful disease that she suffered for many years.
Thank you.
And your challenges that you've experienced as a result. But that's the past. Let's go focus on the future. Because that's what it's really all about. So all we want to do is do an inventory. That's step number two. Let's take a look at the assets, the attributes, the opportunities available to you right now. So let's start with the pragmatic. Number one, are you working at this point?
I am not. I am on disability. However, I do have that law degree, and in the past, I failed the bar exam several times, but I have this second wind, and I'm grateful for it. So I think it's a realistic goal for me to pass the bar exam in 2020. I've written out a study schedule that I know is required, but that's realistic that I can do, and I think that would be a tremendous boost, obviously, if I can pass the bar exam, even at, you know, a lot later in life, and see if I can make a law career.
And there are many, as you know, legal occupations that don't require that you pass the bar, that the JD can be sufficient. So you can explore.
I have a book about that, and absolutely. And I do have some ideas of things, maybe a business that I'd like to start. But I think the first thing has to be, you know, I've already paid for the course, just take the bar and study as hard and as well as I possibly can and pass it this time.
And have you discussed this with your physician? Is your physician supportive of you seeking gainful employment?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I can work. I've done some Lyft driving and things like that. So I think that it's realistic for me to kind of, you know, focus on the bar exam, but that still leaves a few hours a day that I could do part-time work in the meantime.
Sure.
I do get a disability income from Social Security as well.
Got it. Okay, so all that looks good. The next question that I have, before I get to the next question, let me say this. I would encourage you to seek employment rather than the approach of starting your own business.
Okay.
Starting a business is stressful, incurs financial risks, and is not something I think you should saddle yourself with at this point. It's fine to have that as a future goal, but I would view that as step two, not step one.
So, okay, thank you.
So focus on your legal career first and getting employed, getting a salary with benefits, and then you can decide to pursue self-employment or small business opportunities after that occurs. Let's walk before we run. Yeah, let's walk before we run. Now, let me go to the second point. Tell me about your current income. You said you're on Social Security disability. How much monthly income is that?
$1,366.
And is that your sole source of income?
It is.
Okay. So would you say that you're spending the entire $1,366 per month that you're receiving from Social Security?
Regrettably, I am.
Are you incurring any credit card debt?
No credit card debt. And amazingly, my $100,000 of law school debt was wiped out because of the disability.
Got it. So it sounds like you are in a good position right now, meaning that you are able to live within the income that you have, and that means you can take the time necessary to work on passing the bar and to find employment that you can then use to replace the current Social Security disability income that you're currently getting.
That's my plan.
And so that's what I would simply tell you to focus on right now. I wouldn't encourage you to attempt to save any of the money that you currently have because you need it to support yourself in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your number one investment is you.
Yes.
Focusing on your education and your career, which is the very same advice I would give to somebody who's in college right now. Essentially, that's you. You're in school and you're studying for an exam. Passing the exam will create career prospects that you currently don't have, and that's where your energy and focus should be. And because you currently have sufficient income to support yourself until you accomplish that goal, the pressure's off. Whether it takes you 2 months or 20 months doesn't make a lot of difference.
So thank you, yes.
I would just keep doing what you're doing, the way you're doing it. Recognize you don't have any urgency here. There's no deadline you're facing other than those that are self-imposed. And self-imposed deadlines are good. It's good to set a goal. It gives you a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It gives you something to shoot for, and it helps to create excitement and fulfillment as you master one piece of the exam and move on to the next piece and you're studying. All that's wonderful. But if you fail the bar, so what? Nobody said you had to pass it by a certain date. You just try again.
Thank you.
And eventually, you'll pass the bar. That will lead to your opportunity to seek employment using your newfound law pedigree, and we can then go from there. So what I would recommend is that after you gain the employment that you are ultimately seeking, call me back, and then we can tell you what you ought to be doing with this newfound salary you've got, because I don't want you to squander it. Just because you might double, triple, quadruple your income as a lawyer, I don't want you to squander that. I don't want you to start increasing the level of your lifestyle so that you end up as broke on $100,000 a year as you currently are on $1,300 a month.
Absolutely.
So baby steps. And you're doing the hard work here. You've gotten your act together. You've come to deal with your depression. You've gotten the medical help necessary. You've got the financial support needed from the government to get you through this. You've got a great goal in mind. You've got a strategy in place that's realistic. You're working hard to achieve it. I have no doubts that you will.
Thanks, Rick. I very much appreciate that.
So I look forward to hearing from you in the not-too-distant future.
I mean, as well. Thank you so much.
Michael, thank you for calling. I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Truth About Money. Hey, I want to ask you, is it possible that you might outlive your money during retirement? Here's your opportunity to attend one of our free live events, Three Keys to Retirement Planning. You'll learn about Social Security, estate planning, and investing for retirement. We're doing the live events in Washington, D.C., Albuquerque, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Providence, and Boston. The events are free, but space fills up quickly, so register right now. Go to rickedelman.com. When we come back, how do you know when it's time to fire your financial advisor? I'll tell you. Stay with us.
Named by Talkers Magazine as one of the Heavy 100 talk show hosts in America, this is The Rick Edelman Show.
Let's talk for a minute about stock market volatility. Hi, Rick Edelman here. You can expect to see market volatility, but don't let it frighten you out of your investment and retirement accounts. Now, I'm not making light of volatility. We get it. It's unsettling. But volatility is really simply a routine part of long-term investing. And the best way for you to avoid stock market volatility? Don't have all your money in stocks. That's why here at Edelman Financial Engines, we're careful to give our clients highly diversified portfolios, placing only a portion of assets into stocks. This helps give you the confidence that stock market volatility is really nothing to get concerned about. We've been helping thousands of clients just like you for 33 years. So come talk with us at Edelman Financial Engines and let us help put your market worries aside. call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Families. Beautiful, messy, unpredictable things. Some of the closest ones aren't even related. Because family doesn't just mean 2.5 kids, mom, dad, and a dog. Every family is different. That's why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data. Now you can share data between lines, mix with unlimited, and switch it up at any time. So you only pay for what you need. No other wireless carrier lets you do that or lets you automatically connect to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. Staying in touch with the ones you call family has never been easier. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple, easy, awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit Xfinity.com/mobile.
I loved the opportunity that I had to go visit Dr. Sharp and Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. As soon as you walk in the lobby, the beautiful aesthetics put you at ease. And then you meet the staff, you realize you're working with the very best. And if you've been thinking about getting laser surgery on your eyes, don't put it off. Utilize your Flex Spending account to start the new year with better eyesight. And I can tell you, there are few things I have ever done more life-changing than getting laser eye surgery. And at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, they now offer all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. And with Sharp Vision's price match guarantee, you'll understand why Dr. Sharp is overqualified, not overpriced. Dr. Sharp has personally performed over 70,000 LASIK procedures. Go get your free consultation. Give them a call, 425-451-2020. That's 425-451-2020, or go to sharp-vision.com. That's sharp with an E, -vision.com. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing.
Welcome back to the program. Rick Edelman here on The Truth About Money. You know, it's been 10 years since Bernie Madoff was caught. And in the last 10 years, Ponzi victims have lost an additional $31 billion, according to the SEC. The SEC also this week charged three foreign individuals with deceiving U.S. investors of tens of millions of dollars through a scam involving something called binary options. If anybody ever pitches binary options to you, run the other way. The SEC has also shut down a boiler room operation in New York. A guy named Benjamin Condi earned $3 million illegally by doing a pump and dump scheme. He bought shares of a penny stock, started telling everybody how much it would rise in value. He then sold when the price got high, leaving everybody else with a worthless security. And according to a new research from the Better Business Bureau, FINRA, and the Stanford Center on Longevity, you're more likely to get ripped off by an online ad than a robocall. Craigslist and eBay are huge venues for scammers. They use fake consumer reviews to lure you with ads, including used cars, vacation rentals, tickets to concerts and sporting events. On social media, 91% of those surveyed failed to recognize fraudulent ads for the scams that they really are, and 53% lost money. Only 11% lose money through phone scams. So be wary when you're surfing the web. Also, the SEC has settled charges against 17 otherwise legitimate investment advisors over allegations that they failed to give their clients the cheapest mutual fund share classes possible. There were 79 investment advisors who were nailed back in March, now 17 more. Bill Few Associates, Cargyle Investment, Comprehensive Capital, Equity Services, Essex Financial, Folger, Nolan, Fleming, Douglas, Henley & Company, Hilltop Securities, IC Advisory, Independent Financial Group, Investment Partners, IPG Investment Advisors, Michigan Advisors, Saxony Capital Management, and Wedbush Securities. All of them have settled charges with the SEC for failing to give their clients the cheapest mutual funds possible so they could earn more fees. Meanwhile, in New York, six life insurance companies are going to pay $1.8 million because they violated state regulations involving the sale of annuity products. Companion Life, Guardian, Northwestern Mutual, Penn Mutual, Prudential, and U.S. Life all engaging in fraudulent activity, according to New York regulators. The SEC has fined BMO Harris Financial Advisors $37 million for putting clients into more expensive investments that were earning more money for BMO advisors. BMO never disclosed it or disclosed the conflict of interest that clients were experiencing. It's just another day. Yeah, the list goes on and on and on. The SEC has recently fined Sigma Planning Corp. $2.5 million for overcharging clients with the sale of mutual funds. Raymond James and Raymond James Financial Services have also been nailed by the SEC for improperly charging advisory fees on inactive client accounts. And FINRA this week has censured and fined UBS $2 million for the firm's repeated failures for not telling clients that the muni bond interest they earned were, in fact, not tax-free as much as they thought. So, is it time for you to fire your financial advisor? Kiplinger offers four signs. Number one, your advisor won't put in writing that they're a fiduciary. Number two, your advisor can't clearly explain their compensation. Number three, your advisor has a cookie-cutter style. And number four, your advisor's out of touch. Does that sound like your advisor? Maybe you need a new one. I'm Rick Edelman. 888-PLAN-RICK is our telephone number. That's the phone number, by the way, that Bill dialed up. He's in Bristol. Bill, how you doing?
I'm good, Rick. It's a pleasure to speak to you, and I learned a lot from your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. How can I help?
Several weeks ago, you noted that in the first few years of a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, most of the monthly payment is going toward interest.
Right.
Typically on a 5-1 ARM, the interest could be as much as 1 point lower. I mean, recently it's not that different. But my question is, if you don't plan to stay in your house for more than about 5 years, would it make better sense to take out a 5-1 ARM since the total interest that you're going to pay over that 5 years is going to be less than you would with a 30-year?
Right.
And you wouldn't have paid down that much of the principal anyway.
Yeah, and so it's a really good question. We're all facing the issue when we buy houses, how big a mortgage should we get? What kind of a mortgage should we get? I've always been the advocate of a 30-year fixed-rate loan, especially in today's interest rate environment with near-historic low interest rates. Isn't it wonderful to lock that rate in for 30 years with never having to worry that the rate might rise, that your payment might rise? But as you note, an adjustable-rate loan is actually lower in interest than the fixed-rate loan. So why not do that? And here's why not, and why it might be okay for you, but here's why I'm hesitant. The good news about an adjustable rate mortgage is that the interest rate is lower than a fixed rate mortgage, but it's adjustable, which means at the end of the initial term, you described a term of 5 years, at the end of the term, the interest rate will change to whatever interest rates are doing at the moment. Sometimes there's a cap where they can't raise the rate more than 2 points in any 1 year, but the interest rate could dramatically rise at the end of the five-year term. Now, your attitude is, well, that doesn't bother me because I'm going to sell the house. So if I'm pretty confident I'm going to sell the house during this initial 5 years, why not just do that because the rate's lower? And I would agree with you. Go ahead, except for one thing. How sure are you really that you are in fact going to sell the house within the five-year period? And here's why I ask. Very often people have the attitude that they think they're going to retire, they think they're going to downsize, they think by then their kids will be gone because they're out of the house, off to college, and so on. And what we sometimes discover is that those future expectations don't become reality. That the kid who went off to college boomerangs and comes back, and you do need the extra space and the ability to downsize doesn't work out. Or the job you thought you were going to leave, you're not leaving as soon as you thought. Or a health issue occurs or develops. Or, and this is one is something we really need to be focusing on today, interest rates rise over the next several years. Now, if interest rates go up, the value of the house can go down because home values are based on the ability of buyers to pay. And as interest rates go up, the monthly cost of mortgages goes up for people getting new loans. And that means they may not be able to buy your house for as much as you're thinking of selling it for. That may cause you to change your mind about selling at the time you're today thinking you're going to sell it in the future. For all these reasons, you may discover that you're not selling the house within 5 years as you currently expect. And that means you'll get nailed if you end up keeping the house and the adjustable rate adjusts and you find yourself paying a much higher interest rate than you had anticipated.
Great. So that makes a lot of sense.
So for all that, I'll put it to you, Bill. How confident are you that you really will sell the house within this 5-year period?
Yeah. No, I hear what you say, and no matter how confident you are, you may be subject to unanticipated future.
Yeah, and for that reason, it's kind of a bird in hand. The 30-year rate is so low right now that it's hard to turn down. In fact, you tell me, you've been shopping these rates. The 30-year rate, if you were to go get it today, what is it you would be able to get on a 30-year fixed?
Well, I think it's around 4%.
And the...
A little lower, perhaps.
Call it 3.75. That's what we're generally seeing.
Yeah.
What about that five and one arm that you're looking at, the adjustable rate mortgage? What's that interest rate?
Yeah, it's not much different. Maybe 3.625.
Yeah, you know, for an eighth of a percent, is it really worth the risk you're taking? I would go with a fixed rate loan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Bill. I'm really glad you called.
My parents left me that house.
You're not going to lose the house. Everybody has three mortgages nowadays.
For your information, the interest rate alone for the first 5 years comes to $95,000.
I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Truth About Money. 888-PLAN-RICK is how you reach us here at Edelman Financial Engines. That's 888-752-6742 or online at rickedelman.com. That's all the time I've got this weekend. That's a wrap.
As a reward, you'll have no radio for the rest of the week. Go to your room.
See you next week.
Get the truth about money every weekend on The Rick Edelman Show.